على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars e Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها؟ إن الذين ارتدوا على أدبارهم من بعد ما تبين لهم الهدى الشيطان سول لهم وأملى لهم. ذلك بأنهم قالوا للذين كرهوا ما نزل الله سنطيعكم في بعض الأمر والله يعلم إسرارهم. فكيف إذا توفتهم الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم؟ ذلك بأنهم اتبعوا ما أسخط الله وكرهوا رضوانه فأحبط أعمالهم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن؟ Do they not ponder over the Quran? Am ala qulubin aqfaluha? Or are there locks on their hearts? Innal ladhina irtaddu ala adbarihim, indeed those who have turned their backs, min ba'di ma tabayyana lahumul huda, after guidance has been made clear to them. لهم الهدى الشيطان سول لهم. Shaitan has beautified for them. وأملى لهم, and prolonged their hopes. ذلك بأنهم قالوا للذين كرهوا ما نزل الله. This is because they say to those who detest Allah's revelation, سنطيعكم في بعض الأمر, we shall follow you in some matters. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِسْرَارَهُمْ, Allah Ta'ala has knowledge of their secret talks. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, what will be their condition when the angels, يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ, shall draw out their souls whilst beating their faces and backs. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهِ, this is because they pursue the things that anger Allah Ta'ala. وَكَرِهُوا رِضْوَانَهُ, and they dislike His pleasure. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, so Allah Ta'ala lays their actions to waste. We continue with the commentary of Surah Muhammad, and mention is being made of the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And previously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention with regards to equality of the mu'minun and the believers, and the opposing attitude of the munafiqun. The quality of the believers was لَوْلَا نُزِّلَتْ surah. That at all times, they have this desire that why doesn't Allah Ta'ala reveal another surah? And the reason behind this is that we want to do even more for Allah. What we are doing for Allah does not feel sufficient. So we want Allah Ta'ala to reveal another surah, another ayah, in which another command is mentioned, so that we can do something more. And the opposite of this was the attitude of the munafiqun. That when Allah Ta'ala reveals a command, and more specifically, a very difficult command, and even more specifically, the command of jihad is revealed, then Allah Ta'ala says, يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ نَظَرَ الْمَغْشِيِّ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. If you were to look at their faces at that time, it will seem as though death has approached them. So this is the attitude of the believers, and this is the attitude of the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. And as far as our era is concerned, there is no more wahi now. The doors of revelation have closed. So Allah Ta'ala is not going to send down any more new commands. He is not going to send down any more new surahs. He is not going to send down any more new ayats of the Quran. But each and every one of us know, or each and every one of us should know, that our understanding regarding the deen is very minimal. So our desire should be that when can I go and sit in the company of the ulama and hear something new so that I can bring that into my life. If we also have this desire that I want to listen to something regarding the deen which I have not heard before so that I can bring that into my life, then we will be from the first group, the group of the mu'minun. Because this is the trait of the believers. But if it's the opposite, that first of all, we don't want to listen to anything new. We are fearful that how much I know, that's sufficient. If I go and sit in a bayan and the speaker says that this is also something which you will have to do, this is also necessary, then there will be an extra thing added to the list. It's difficult enough to practice upon deen, and there will be an extra item. So if our thought process is this, that I don't want to hear anymore, I've heard enough. And if we do end up sitting in a talk and we do hear something, that this is also part of deen, this is also something you have to do, or this is also something you have to refrain from, then at that time we feel a sense of burden. We don't welcome it with open arms. Then this is a trait of the munafiqun and the hypocrites. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions that as far as these munafiqun are concerned, as was mentioned before, they would try and do all those things which the mu'minun do, which the believers do, because they had to try and show people that we are also with the believers. So they would also go to the masjid and perform salah. Many of them would perform salah in the front row. They would sit in the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would act like they are listening very attentively. So Allah Ta'ala says that together with all of this, they would also recite the Quran and read the Quran. The munafiqun and the hypocrites would also read the Quran. But Allah Ta'ala poses a question in the next ayah. That أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder over the message of the Quran? Do they not reflect upon the verses of the Quran? Do they not make an effort to try and understand what Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran? And the reason for asking this question is that Allah Ta'ala is saying to us that if they did ponder over the verses of the Quran, then this would have meant that they would have understood the wisdom behind the commands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. They would have understood the benefits of obeying Allah Ta'ala, and as a result, they would have then practiced upon the deen. They would not have remained in this group of hypocrites. So do they not ponder over the Quran? This is one point. And the second point Allah Ta'ala mentions is, أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. That, oh, are there locks upon their hearts? Have their hearts been sealed? Now over here, before we move on, there is one explanation which is connected to Arabic grammar, which I will try to explain in a very simplified manner. We have the word am here. So am is translated as or. Like in English you say that he a male or a female. So or. And in Arabic you have two words for this word o. One is am and the other is aw. So either alif mim or alif waw. Over here we have am. Now, these two words, the word and the word aw, sometimes they appear in a sentence for something which is called man'ul khulub. And sometimes when they appear, they are not for man'ul khulub. When they are not for man'ul khulub, there are three possibilities. If we take a simple example, that a person says, أَذَّهَبَ زَيْدٌ أَمْ أَمْرٌ. Has Zayd left or has Amr left? So he's asking a question regarding two people, that has Zayd left or has Amr left? Now, this which we translate as O, if it is not for man'ul khulu, there will be three possibilities. The first possibility is that Zayd has left, but not Amr. So only Zayd has left. The second possibility is that Amr has left, but not Zayd. And the third possibility is that neither of the two have left. So this is when the is not for man'ul khulu. But when it is for man'ul khulu, then this means that from the two options, at least one of them is definite. So over here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that do they not ponder over the Quran, or are there seals upon their hearts? It's not possible that you can answer by saying that it's none of the two. No, it has to be at least one of the two. So minimum is one of the two, but there's also the possibility that it's both of them. And Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes that over here it's both of them. The reason why they are not practicing upon the deen, the reason why they are not being granted hidayah and guidance is because of both of these reasons. That number one, they are not pondering over the verses of the Quran. And number two, their hearts have been sealed. It's both of these things. Now, why have their hearts been sealed? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed the hearts of the munafiqeen? And the reason why this is important to understand is so that we do not make the same mistake Otherwise, even our hearts, if Allah Ta'ala desires, He can seal our hearts from hidayah and guidance. So as far as the munafiqeen and the hypocrites are concerned, this group was formed in Madinatul Munawwara. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkatul Mukarrama, there were no hypocrites. There were only the kuffar, the disbelievers, and the mushrikeen, the polytheists. And as far as the kuffar and the mushrikeen of Makkatul Mukarrama were concerned, they never believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet to the people of Makkatul Mukarrama, for them it was something new. It was the first time they heard that this is a prophet of Allah ta'ala. For them it was something completely new, a new concept, to believe in the prophet of Allah. But as far as the people of Madinatul Munawwara are concerned, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, in Madinatul Munawwara, you had the people of the book. Now the people of the book, in their divine scripture, it was already written that a final prophet is going to be sent. His name is going to be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his entire description was mentioned also. These will be his attributes, this will be his qualities. This is why when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was migrating from Makkatul Mukarrama, and the people of Madinatul Munawwara were anticipating his arrival, then Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who later on accepted Islam, at that time he was a great Jewish scholar. So he had the knowledge of the divine scripture and the divine book. So he says that I had studied all of the attributes of the final prophets. And I was waiting to see that when he enters, does he match the description which is mentioned in our divine scripture? But Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into Madinatul Munawwara, I thought I was going to carry out a comparison study, that is this attribute present in him, is this attribute present in him, is this attribute present in him. But as soon as my gaze fell on him, instantly I came to this conclusion that this cannot be the face of a liar. Just looking at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a sign that he has to be the prophet of Allah ta'ala. عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابِ. Instantly I understood that this cannot be the face of a liar. So the people of Madinatul Munawwara, they already knew that a final prophet is going to come. And they used to also say to each other that don't worry, as soon as the final prophet comes, then we are going to assist him and we are going to be part of his group, and with him we are going to destroy the rest of the world. This is what the Jews used to say. They wanted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to Madinah Munawwara. But what was the problem? When he came to Madinatul Munawwara, the biggest problem was, you have to go back to Ibrahim alayhi salam's time. Allah Ta'ala made Ibrahim alayhi salam the prophet of Allah. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam with two sons, Ishaq alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Ishaq alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah, Ismail alayhi salam was also the prophet of Allah. After Ishaq alayhi salam, every prophet that came in the world, they came from this lineage of Ishaq alayhi salam. Not a single prophet came from the lineage of Ismail alayhi salam. So due to this tribalism, the Jews had this in their mind, that because every prophet has come from the lineage of Ishaq alayhi salam, even the final prophet will come from the same lineage. Now all this time they had this in their mind that he is going to come from this same lineage. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not from the lineage of Ishaq alayhi salam. He was from the lineage of Ismail alayhi salam. So they became jealous. They became jealous. And this jealousy led to hatred. And this hatred led to the enmity. And this enmity led to their stubbornness. Otherwise, they knew he is the Prophet of Allah. But look how detrimental jealousy is. That because of jealousy, even when you know something is the haq and the truth, this jealousy is so bad and so evil that it could prevent you from accepting the truth. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ The Quran says that when that came, which they recognized, this could mean the Quran also, and this can mean Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. That they knew that this Quran has to be the book of Allah. And they knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Allah, the very Prophet who we've been waiting for all this time. So when he came, what did they do? Did they accept him with open arms? No, kafaru bih, they rejected him. Why? Because of their stubbornness, because of their jealousy. So this attribute of the munafiqeen, that despite knowing he is the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala, simply because they were jealous that he is not from the children of Ishaq, he is from the lineage of Ismail alayhi salam. It's just like a community. For example, you have a Gujarati community. Just an example. And for some reason, the imam happens to be a Pakistani. And they, for some reason, don't like Pakistanis. It shouldn't be like this. There's no racism in Islam. Now, despite this imam having all the qualities, all the attributes, and they all know that he's the best imam for us. But no, we don't want to accept him because we want a Gujarati imam. This happens even to this day. Not only in this, in anything. Sometimes you know that this person, he is the truth. He is speaking the truth. We should be following him. But no, he's not one of us. He's not one of us. So because he's not one of us, he could be the best, but we don't want anything to do with him. And another person has nothing in him, but because he's one of us, because he belongs to our tribe, then he is the one who should be on the throne. So this jealousy, which led to the enmity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which led to their stubbornness that we will not accept Islam. We will not accept him as the Prophet. This was their trait due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became extremely unhappy with them. That due to this, is this how low you stoop? That you've become jealous just because he is not from the children of Ismail alayhi salam? And you are rejecting him despite knowing he's the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. This was such an evil that because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed the hearts. Am ala qulubin aqfaluha. Has Allah Ta'ala sealed their hearts? Are there seals on their hearts? Yes, there are seals on their hearts. Why? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا This is because they believed, they had iman. They were already believers before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They belonged to the Jewish tribe, the Jewish faith. They were mu'minun, they were believers. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا Then they rejected. They became disbelievers. So after having iman, they became disbelievers. This was so evil that فَتُوبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah Ta'ala says that we sealed their hearts. And once their hearts are sealed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says that now it will become very easy for shaitan to deviate them from the straight path. Very easy for shaitan. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ ارْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمْ. Indeed, those who have turned their backs. مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ. After guidance, meaning after the proof of Tawheed and the truth of Islam has been made clear to them. الشَّيْطَانُ سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ. Shaitan has beautified their sins. وَأَمْلَى لَهُمْ. And prolonged their hopes. These are the people who have turned their backs towards Hidayah. You have two groups. You have one group who are trying to practice upon the deen. So shaitan will have to exert effort to try and stop them from practicing upon deen. But you have these individuals that they themselves have turned their backs away from Islam. So now what will shaitan have to do? When they themselves are not interested, it's become very easy for shaitan now. So they have turned their backs away from that hidayah, from that guidance which was made clear to them. And shaitan now, two things. Number one, sawwala lahum. And number two, wa amla lahum. Sawwala lahum means that shaitan decorates the wrong and he makes it seem right. So such a person now, anything wrong that he is doing, to him it seems as though what I am doing is right and correct. This is called taswil. And the second thing that Allah Ta'ala mentions here regarding shaitan is imla. What is imla? Imla is that he prolongs their hopes. He prolongs their hopes. And this could mean many things. For example, a person thinks to himself that this sin which I am about to commit is only a minor sin. What's wrong with committing this sin? It's one minor sin I am going to commit. Surely this one minor sin is not going to have such a bad effect on my life. So even for you and I, in here there is this very important lesson that shaitan uses these sort of tricks in order to deviate us from the straight path. It's only a minor sin. Hakim al-Ummat Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi says that a clever person, just as he ensures that I need to save myself from a very big flame, in the same way, he will also ensure that he saves himself from a small spark. Nobody thinks to himself that this is a big snake and this is a small snake. So I need to protect myself from the big snake. The small snake does not matter. This is a big scorpion, so I have to save myself. This is a small scorpion, so it doesn't matter. No. Just as this can destroy you, this can also destroy you. So shaitan puts this thought in a person's mind. It's only a minor sin. Sometimes shaitan will put this thought in a person's mind that you have so many good deeds. What's this one evil going to do? It's only one wrong. Just commit this one wrong. Just enjoy yourself today. And from tomorrow, once again, carry on with your good life. It could be that you commit that sin and at that time, your time of death has been written. And you leave this world whilst committing that sin. It could be that you commit that one sin and you become addicted to that sin, not realizing that you are going to become addicted. It could be that because of committing that one sin, you get so far from Allah Ta'ala that you never get the ability to repent again. So this is how shaitan, this is wa'amla lahum. Shaitan sometimes puts this thought in a person's mind. That even if you have to go into Jahannam, you are a mu'min and a believer. One day you will go into Jannah. So at that time we should tell ourselves that in this world, if somebody was to just give you one punch, how much does that hurt? And if somebody told you that stand inside this fire for 5 seconds, would you be able to do so? So why are you prepared to think like this, that don't worry, I'll go in Jahannam for 1, 2, 3 years, it doesn't matter, eventually I'll go into Jannah. Rather, the thought process should be the opposite. That if I was to commit this sin, then how will I be able to persevere in Jahannam? It will not be possible. In this world, one flame. There was a young boy who was residing inside a masjid. In those days, in the villages. And a group of people, they were traveling. And one young girl, she happened to get lost from this group. So looking for a place of refuge in the middle of the night, she found this masjid, she knocked on the door. And she said, please let me spend the night here. So he told her, you sit there at the back, I will carry on doing my work. He was a student, he was studying. But naturally, Shaitan, he began to place thoughts in his mind that it's only you and her. There is nobody here. Enjoy yourself. Fulfill your desire. He managed to control himself. And in the morning, when the family finally came and found her, then before leaving, she said to him that, I want to ask you something. What I want to ask you is that throughout the night, I was observing you very carefully, and what I saw is after every few moments, you are placing your finger inside the candle which was next to you. Why were you doing this? So he said the reason was that whenever Shaitan put this thought in my mind that fulfill your desire with her, I put my finger in the flame and I told myself that if you cannot bear this fire, how are you going to bear the fire of Jahannam? So in this manner, I was able to save myself from committing this sin. This is how a mu'min and a believer thinks. So Shaitan makes a person think in this manner that, yes, you are going to change, but not today. Ramadan is around the corner. 15th of night of Sha'ban is around the corner. And then once 15th night of Sha'ban comes, he will say Ramadan. Once Ramadan begins, well, you still have an entire 30 days. First 10 days, take it easy. Then the second day, 10 days comes, he'll say, last 10 days, you're going to do everything. And when the last 10 days comes, let's wait for 27th night. 27th night comes, he'll say, Hajj is around the corner. Go for Hajj and then change your life. Then he'll be, you need to get married first. You need to have children. Your children are still young. Become a grandfather, then change. And before you know it, you'll be in your grave. الشَّيْطَانُ سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ وَأَمْلَى لَهُمْ. So the initial crime was kufr, disbelief, which happened due to their jealousy, their enmity, and their stubbornness. This resulted in them being caught in the net of this taswil and this imla. The shaitan, he beautifies their thoughts. He makes them think that the way you are thinking is correct, whilst in reality is incorrect. Everything which is wrong, he makes it seem as though it's right. And whatever is wrong, he makes it seem as though it's... Whatever is right, he makes it seem as though it's wrong. And وَأَمْلَى لَهُمْ. He prolongs their thoughts. He makes them think that you're going to do tawbah, you're going to repent one day, don't worry. Right now, enjoy yourself. And as a result of this, what happens? A person stops paying attention to the Qur'an. He doesn't read the Qur'an. He doesn't listen to the Qur'an. And he doesn't make an effort to ponder over the message of the Qur'an. And when this happens, then Allah Ta'ala says that finally such a person's heart is sealed. It's sealed. And when it's sealed, فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Now they cannot understand. They cannot understand what is correct and what is incorrect. Three terms have been mentioned in the Qur'an. One is طَبَع. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. That Allah Ta'ala seals their hearts. And in Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala says, Khatam, Khatam Allahu ala qulubihim. Allah Ta'ala seals their hearts. And over here, we have the word aqfal. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala locks their hearts. Allah Ta'ala locks their hearts. So everything which has a lock, you have a bag which has a lock on it, you have a door which has a lock on it, you have your phone. The phone also has a lock. It has a passcode. Until you don't put the passcode in, you can't go in. First it was passcode, then it became your finger. Now I think it's facial recognition. Yeah? Or has it gone even further? I don't know. Yeah? So a phone also has a lock. And what happens with a lock? When something is locked, whatever is inside cannot come out. And whatever is outside cannot go in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have sealed their hearts. We have sealed their hearts. Because of their stubbornness, they are now not pondering over the Quran. They don't want to practice upon the Quran. They don't want to understand the Quran. We have sealed their hearts. When we have sealed their hearts, the kufr which is inside their hearts cannot come out. And the iman which is outside of their hearts cannot go in. Finished. Now there is no chance of hidayah. This is the last stage. This is the stage from which we have to be very careful that we don't reach that stage. Because once the heart is sealed, the kufr cannot leave and the iman cannot enter. And this is what is called qasawat qalb, which is also a word which Allah Ta'ala uses in the Quran, the hardening of the heart. This is why some commentators of the Quran, they have said, "Am ala qulubin qasiyatin muzlimatin aqfaluha." That are there locks upon their hard, dark hearts? Why? Because the hardening of the heart, this is also a seal. If you have a rock which is extremely hard, you don't need to put a lock in it. Nothing can go into it. It's already a hard rock. It's already sealed. So the hardening of the heart itself is a seal. And when the rock is extremely hard, no light can penetrate it. So it's extremely dark inside also. So these hearts have become so hard that nothing can enter it. And the nur and the light of iman cannot enter it. So it's completely dark inside. And this is due to the amount of sins they have committed and they have persisted upon their sins. And they have not been given the ability to do tawbah. It's become extremely hard. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when a person commits one sin, then one black dot appears on his heart. One black dot. Now in the initial stages, when a person is completely pure and he commits one sin and one black dot appears on the heart, instantly he will feel restless. Just like that person who is wearing a white jubba and is completely clean. And you're walking on the street and one drop, one speck falls on it. Or you're sitting down to eat and one morsel falls on it. Instantly you will worry about it that I need to clean this. But you have a mechanic who is wearing his overall and top to bottom is already full of oil marks. If another 10 marks fall on this, he's not going to bother. So that person who is pure, as soon as he disobeys Allah Ta'ala and he commits one sin, instantly that one black dot appears on his heart, he becomes restless. He becomes restless. Now he's looking for the liquid. Now he's looking for the soap. And what's the soap and the liquid? Tawbah. That you repent. You repent, you sincerely, you feel regret, you feel remorse, and you say, "Oh Allah, I am not going to commit this sin again." As soon as you do this tawbah is the soap, it cleans the heart and the heart is clean again. That black dot has left. But you don't do tawbah and you commit a second sin. This black dot gets bigger. Third sin, it increases. Fourth sin, it increases. And before you know it, the whole heart has become black. Now it has become sealed. This is qasawat qalb, the hardening of the heart. The hardening of the heart. So this is how the hardening of the heart happens. That number one, you commit sins. So whenever a person commits a sin, instantly he needs to do two things. One is he should do good deeds. Whatever good deed you can do. Because Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna al-hasanat yudhibna as-sayyi'at." Good deeds, they erase the evil deeds. Ittaqillah haythuma kunt. Refrain from disobeying Allah Ta'ala wherever you may be. So that's the mission, that I'm not going to disobey Allah. But if you do disobey Allah, because as a human you are going to make mistakes, then وَأَتْبِئِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ, follow that evil deed with a good deed. تَمْحُهَا, this good deed will erase the evil deed. So whenever a person commits a sin, he should follow it up with a good deed. And if a person commits major sins, then he should do tawbah, he should repent. And if a person does not do this, he doesn't do good deeds also, and he doesn't do tawbah also, and he persists on this sinful life, he carries on living a life of sin, then he will reach a stage when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah protect us, will seal such a person's heart. So we need to refrain from sin. If we sin, we need to do tawbah and istighfar. And over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned one very important amal and practice which should be in our life if we want to save ourselves from reaching this stage, which is the tadabbur of the Quran, pondering over the Quran, pondering over the message of the Quran. It's for this reason that we have these durus of the Quran. Because when you ponder over the message of the Quran, when you reflect upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran, this is what is going to lead to you knowing what Allah ta'ala wants from you and what Allah ta'ala wants you to stay away from. So tadabbur fil Quran and pondering of the Quran is very important. Now over here, a couple of points. Again, this is academic, but I will try and simplify it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is speaking about the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. But if we look at the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions, أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, that are there locks, عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ, on the hearts. Allah Ta'ala did not say ala qulubihim, are there locks on their hearts. So Allah Ta'ala was speaking about the munafiqeen. So what should have been said is, are there locks on their hearts? Allah Ta'ala did not say are there locks on their hearts. Allah Ta'ala simply said, are there locks on the hearts? What's the reason for this? There are two reasons. One reason is that by bringing the tanween, the two kasras under the ba of qulub, we can then have an attribute, or in this case two attributes for heart. And that was already mentioned before, which some commentators have said that qulubin qasiyatin muzlimatin. So qasiyatin muzlimatin are the two attributes, that on those hearts which are hard and which are muzlima, which are dark. And a second reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not attribute the hearts towards the munafiqeen, otherwise it would have become specific only to the munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep this general so that everyone can relate to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is mentioning that if a person is not practicing upon the deen, then there will be two reasons. Number one is he doesn't ponder over the message of the Quran. And number two, his heart has become hard. His heart has been sealed. Second point. A second point is that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ, that are there on their hearts aqfal, locks. Rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, are there on their hearts, the locks of the hearts. Aqfaluha, there's a ha here. So by bringing the ha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is indicating towards this point that everything has a lock. And the lock of the hearts is taba, khatam and qufl, which we also call ghaflat, negligence. That when a person becomes negligent, then as a result of this negligence, his heart becomes locked, and thereafter hidayah cannot enter this heart. So afala yatadabbaruna al-Quran, do they not ponder over the Quran? Am ala qulubin aqfaluha, or are there locks on their hearts? Innal ladina irtaddu ala adbarihim, indeed those who have turned their backs after guidance, innal ladina irtaddu ala adbarihim min ba'di ma tabayyana lahumul huda, indeed those who have turned their backs after guidance has been made clear to them. Ash-shaytanu sawwala lahum, shaytan has beautified for them. Wa amla lahum, and prolonged their hearts, prolonged their hopes. Sawwala, that their thinking as well as their actions, shaytan has beautified. Shaytan makes them think that the way you're thinking is correct, the way you're doing things is correct, whereas in reality, whatever they are thinking and whatever they are doing is wrong. And wa amla lahum, that he prolongs their whole hopes, which I have already explained, that right now a person may think that it's difficult for me to practice upon the deen, or my circumstances are such, so later on I will change. But this is all from shaitan. Dhalika, this is because, meaning this turning away from the truth after it was made clear to them, bi'annahum, is because qalu, they say. So qalu here again refers to the munafiqun. That the munafiqun, they say, lilladhina karihu, to those who detest ma nazzal Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation. Again, I've explained this, that they detest the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ, when that came to them which they recognized to be the truth, they rejected it. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, they knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and recognized him just as they recognized their own sons. In other words, just as a person knows for definite that this is my son, in the same way they knew for definite he is the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. But due to their jealousy, they rejected him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the munafiqun, they say to the disbelievers, what's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the reason behind this, that turning away from the truth after it was made clear to them? The reason is because the munafiqun, they say to those who detest Allah Ta'ala's revelation, referring to the Jews. Allama Qurtubi says it refers to the mushrikun. Some say it refers to the Jews. What do they say to them? Sanuti'ukum fi ba'dil amr, we shall follow you in some matters. We shall follow you in some matters. There's two groups. One is the disbelievers. The disbelievers, they openly reject Islam. And they say that we are not interested, we are not going to accept. The second group are the munafiqun and the hypocrites. They are the ones who, from the outward, they show as though they are believers, but inside, they do not believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that as far as the first group is concerned, those who openly reject, there is a possibility that one day some of them will accept iman. But the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, they have gone to such a level that their hearts have been sealed, and now it's going to be impossible for any of them to accept Islam. And the reason for this is that they say to the Jews, Sanuti'ukum fi ba'dil amr, we are going to obey you in some matters. This is an indication towards that ayah of the Quran in Surah Baqarah, in which Allah Ta'ala says that وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, when they meet with the believers, قَالُوا آمَنَّا, they say that we have brought iman. They read the kalima in front of the mu'minun. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ, but when they go towards the leaders, قَالُوا, what do they say? Inna ma'akum, we are with you. We are with you. So if you are with us, then what were you doing with them, and why were you reading the kalima when you were there? So they say, innama nahnu mustahzi'un, we are just making a mockery out of them. It's just an entire game that we are playing. We are making fun out of them. So what do they say to the Jews? That we will follow you in some matters. What does this mean? This means that those matters in which the believers will not realize that we are munafiqeen and hypocrites, then in those matters, whatever you tell us to do, we will do. But if you were to tell us that tomorrow you have to openly disbelieve and openly you have to say we are kuffar, then we will not be able to obey you. If you tell us that from tomorrow don't go to the masjid and pray your 5 times salah, we will not be able to obey you, because we have to show them that we are with them. So those matters in which our hypocrisy will not be divulged, we will obey you. And in those matters where our hypocrisy will come out in the open, then in those matters we cannot obey you. So because of this trait, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is why this happened. But they thought it was a whole secret. They thought that this is just between us and them, and the mu'minun and the believers don't know anything. Allah ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِسْرَارَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِسْرَارَهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of their secret talks. Allah ta'ala knows everything. And not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divulged this secret of theirs in the Quran. Allah ta'ala is informing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers that these individuals, they are munafiqoon, they are hypocrites. And this is what they do when they go to the disbelievers. So they think they are making a mockery out of the believers. Allah ta'ala says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality is mocking at them. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now draws their attention towards that, towards death. That you are thinking that one day you may change your lives, or you are thinking that what's the benefit of practicing upon the deen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that look, death is going to come. One day you are going to have to leave this world. So let me draw your attention towards that time. فَكَيْفَ What will be the condition? إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ When the angels shall draw out the souls, يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ while smiting, while beating their faces and their backs. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned three occasions or three tafsirs with regards to this particular ayah. One is that this will happen on the day of Qiyamah, when the disbelievers will be driven towards Jahannam. Then as they are being driven towards Jahannam, the angels will be hitting them and smiting them and beating them on their faces and on their backs. And a second tafsir is that ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ الْقِتَالِ This happens when the disbelievers are in war against the believers. So during the battle, and especially this was as a means of assistance for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that during the battle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send down angels, and these angels, when a disbeliever would be pursued on the battlefield, then this disbeliever would be hit on his face by the angels. And if a disbeliever tried to flee from the battlefield, then he would be hit on his back by the angels. And the most preferred tafsir of this is, which is mentioned by Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who says that whenever a person, he leaves this world while committing a sin. Now this can have two meanings. Either a person passes away whilst he is committing the sin. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. Just imagine a person, he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at that time the angel of death was to extract his soul. What an evil death this would be. So if a person was to die whilst committing a sin, or if a person has not repented from a sin he is habituated to committing. So he has a sin which is in his life, which he commits, and he has not repented from that sin. And before repenting from that sin, he is to die. Then such an individual, at the time of his death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down these angels, and these angels, they beat him on his face and on his back. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also shows those who are around him that he is screaming, he is yelling, and nobody knows the reason behind this. Even the doctors cannot understand the reason behind his screaming and his yelling. So this could be one of the reasons that the angels at that time are beating him on his face and his back, because he has not repented from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. This is why we should always make it a point to repent on a daily basis. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is drawing their attention towards this time of death. And finally Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهُ وَكَرِهُوا رِضْوَانَهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That this punishment at the time of death is because they pursue, they do the things that anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they dislike His pleasure. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ اِتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهُ وَكَرِهُوا رِضْوَانَهُ. This is because they pursue the things that anger Allah Ta'ala. So what angers Allah Ta'ala? There are two things. Number one is kufr, disbelief. And number two is ma'asiyah, sins. So a person has to refrain from disbelief also, and a person has to refrain from disobeying Allah Ta'ala also. He has to refrain from sins. This has to be the mission of life. That I am not going to do anything which displeases Allah Ta'ala. I am going to stay far away from guna and from sins. And what pleases Allah Ta'ala? Iman and a'mal saliha, iman and good deeds. So ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهُ وَكَرِهُوا رِضْوَانَهُ. This punishment is because they do the things that anger Allah, meaning kufr and sins, and they dislike His pleasure. They stay away from iman and they stay away from good deeds. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays their good actions to waste. The munafiqeen, they used to carry out many good deeds. They would come to the masjid and perform salah. They would recite the Quran. They would give charity. But all of these good deeds, which they carried out during their lifetime, because they have left this world without iman, then none of these good deeds will benefit them in the akhirah and the hereafter. So we understand from these verses, although Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, but there is a lesson for us also. There are many lessons, and from those many lessons, one is that we need to also ponder over the glorious Quran, take out time to reflect over the verses of the Quran, and ensure that we do not become from those individuals who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we should refrain from all types of sins, major or minor. And we should try and do as many good deeds as we possibly can, so that we are not from those people whose hearts are sealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah that He grants us the ability to practice upon this. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي يطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.